I'm Keith Goldwitzer. I'm the head of the antiproton source at Fermilab. I'm a scientist who works in the accelerator division, and one of my jobs is to make antiprotons, which is a form of antimatter. Antimatter is not evil. Antimatter exists all the time. We have it formed all the time when cosmic rays hit the atmosphere and creates particles and antiparticles. In fact, all high-energy physics collisions, which includes cosmic rays hitting the atmosphere, creates matter and antimatter. Antimatter, it does exist. Antimatter is matter that's made from antiparticles. Every particle has an antiparticle. Now, anti in this case does not mean evil or anything like that. It means it's the opposite. So, for instance, the normal matter that people know about are protons, neutrons, and electrons. And their antimatter compadres are the antiproton, the antineutron, and the antielectron. The antielectron is also known as a positron. In fact, the positron is used in the medical industry in what is called positron emission tomography to make a diagnosis of different cancers. A form of antimatter, positrons, is used in the medical industry to diagnose different types of cancers, and in some cases might even be used to treat a cancer. At Fermilab, we do not use antimatter to treat cancers, but to investigate the big scientific questions that we have. Why do we exist? Why do we have mass? Why is it only matter in the universe? Scientists believe that at the Big Bang, both matter and antimatter were made in equal amounts. Now, if all that matter and antimatter had gotten back together again, they would annihilate and we'd be back into just pure energy. That didn't happen. Places like Fermilab make antimatter. In fact, all high-energy collisions make antimatter. Just that at Fermilab and at CERN, we collect the antimatter versions called antiprotons into our magnetic bottles. Fermilab and CERN make antiprotons, which are forms of antimatter, to be collected for further experimentations. The case of Fermilab, we use it in high-energy collisions with protons. In the case of CERN, they use their antiprotons to investigate at the atomic level and make antihydrogen. Fermilab produces and collects 10 picograms a day. That's a very small amount. A picogram is a trillionth of a gram. Now, the amounts that are discussed in the Angels and Demons book, it would take us approximately 80 million years to produce that amount of antimatter, which is about a quarter of a gram. We store at one time on the order of 10 picograms. We use it continuously in our scientific experiments, but overall in 1 year, the most we've ever made at Fermilab is 2.3 nanograms, which is, again, it would take us quite a long time, this 70 million years, to actually produce enough to make the quantities that are discussed in Angels and Demons. In Angels and Demons, it is mentioned that there's a quarter of a gram of antimatter. Now, to give you an idea, a quarter gram of matter is the equivalent of about a quarter of the size of a dollar bill. Now, for Fermilab to produce that would take about 70 million years. We use the antimatter in different types of experiments. Our main experiments is at the Tevatron, where we collide antiprotons and protons. It's matter and antimatter collisions. From that, we are able to produce other particles, both of matter and antimatter, and from those we gain an understanding of how matter is put together, mass is put together, and how the universe came to its being the way it is today. At Fermilab, we collide protons and antiprotons together at very high energies, and this creates some particles which have not existed since the early stages of the universe near the Big Bang. At Fermilab, we make antimatter, antiprotons, by colliding matter, in this case proton beam of high energy, into a nickel alloy target. And off the target comes a whole slew of particles of matter and antimatter, and a subset of that antimatter particles are antiprotons. And of those antiprotons, we are able to collect some of them into a magnetic bottle, which we call our accelerators, which are 500 meters in circumference. This is not something that you could make in your backyard. Antiprotons are difficult to create and then capture. We require a few hundred people to operate the machines, keep the machines in operation. The antimatter is stored in vacuum chambers where the vacuum is as good as or better than nearby space, and that's not something that you can have inside your garage. A vacuum chamber is the beam tube where the beam or the antimatter particles continue to circulate in. You have the antimatter stored in vacuum chambers because whenever antimatter hits matter, in the case air is matter, you would have annihilation and you'd lose the antimatter particles, the antiprotons. Now there are times that the antimatter particles do not continue within the vacuum chambers and end up hitting the wall. That is okay. They do annihilate, but the vacuum chamber is so much more matter than the amount of antimatter that hits it that there's no risk of any damage occurring. There's no danger with the antimatter that we create in terms of making explosions and so forth. The annihilation that occurs is a brief little, if you want, like small little explosions, but it's at such a microscopic scale that it does not affect the beam pipe at all and doesn't register as anything except the beam is gone.
Okay.
Matter and antimatter collide, the particles annihilate, creating other particles or light quanta. If you have a detector on it, like we intentionally do in the Tevatron, yes, you would see particles come out and you would see light, but in the case of, it would be just this brief amount of time where there's a little bit of particles. In Angels and Demons, a half gram of matter and antimatter are brought together to cause an explosion. That, and it is claimed that that'd be on the same order as an atomic bomb. That is correct if you had that much antimatter material. At Fermilab, we don't have that much antimatter material. In fact, that if all the antimatter that we've ever had at the site was stored and collided with protons or matter, you would end up with running a 60-watt light bulb for a few seconds. It is completely safe what is done at Fermilab in terms of explosions. There will be no explosions from antimatter-matter collisions. Creation of antimatter is a very complicated process. We produce and capture the most antimatter in the world, and we've never had a problem with it. The process of producing and collecting antimatter is very complicated, and storing it for extended periods of time for different scientific purposes. Fermilab and CERN are the only two places that currently do that. Fermilab produces and collects more than CERN does. Well, there was definitely the cool factor working with antimatter. I came to Fermilab to work with antimatter to help do the experiments that help explain the science that people are trying to do. In the case of trying to understand why there's no antimatter naturally, for the most part, or why we have mass, that is a big question that we have in science today. It is a neat thing to sit there and say, yes, I work with antimatter, one of the most delicate things on Earth that we've created, and it's here as long as the electricity's on and we can contain it within our magnetic storage bottle.